Good evening, friends. Here's where you're worrying, where everyone is dead. Good evening, friends. Your name somehow I can't recall right now, but know you all I bow. Good evening, friends. I know you all, I do. Good evening, friends. Pull up a chair and turn the light down low. You're at our cell, you know. Good evening, friends. We run the air just once a week, you know. Each week a brand new show for you, my friend. The music starts, the curtain parts, and all the fun for everyone. Although it's true that I cannot see you, I almost feel I do. Good evening, friends. Thank you, folks, thank you. Once again, I welcome you to Shell Chateau, where each Saturday night we present the brightest stars in the entertainment world. Just listen. Star number one, Victor Young and his officer. And it might interest you folks to know that when Victor Young began his musical career, he was a great organist. But he had to give it up. His monkey died. Star number two, Miss Dixie Lee. As fine a singer of songs as you'll find on the radio, in picture or anywhere. In private life, Miss Lee is the wife of Bing Crosby. And when she married Bing, he beat the depression. She knew that prosperity was just around the corner. When the blue of the night meets the gold in your hair, someone will fall. Are you listening, Bingy? This is Jolie. Star number three, Ty E. Bright and Reggie Watts. Who they are, I'll tell you in a moment. The toast and the coxswain of the famous University of California crew. I used to go to college, too. And let me tell you, I loved athletics, especially football. I would go almost anywhere to see a game. And I'll never forget the time up in Sing Sing prison when the prisoners played the Army team and Sing Sing won. Well, it just proves the truth of the old saying, the pen is mightier than the sword. Stars number four, Bill and Demley, those two hilarious comedians. These boys are dressed in electrical clothing. And why? Everything they're wearing is cars. Star number five, Richard Bachman, one of our greatest picture stars. And we are happy to have him here in Shell Chateau. A few months ago, when I got through making a picture going to your dance, Dick met the computer and he said, Al, you look pretty well worn out. Why don't you take a little trip, say, to Honolulu? I know the ocean trip will do you a lot of good, and you'll be crazy about the food there. He said they have a dish in Hawaii called poi. And what ham and eggs is to an American, poi is to a Hawaiian. It's the national dish there. Well, I've been to France, and I've eaten a famous crepe Suzette, which to us in America is nothing more or less than glorified bleachers. And I've been to Russia, and I had their famous dish, smetne. Dear old smet. And for the benefit of you folks here in the Shell Chateau who don't know what smetne is, I'll explain it to you. You take some milk, put it in an ice box, leave it there 2, 3, or 4 days, and it becomes sour. And then you add vegetables such as onions, radishes, cucumbers, and then you stir it up until it's nice and thick. And when you've got it stirred up till it's nice and thick, you put up wallpaper with it. Well, sir, I took this Bosomer's advice, and I didn't wait until I got there to try some of that toy. When we finally reached that beautiful island, I didn't wait for anything. I rushed in the first restaurant I saw, and I said to the waiter, buddy, bring me a big order of toy. He said, what kind of toy you like, Steve? We got a hot full of toy, peach toy, and strawberry toy. The girl who's the toast of the town. A work of art without a question. To keep your heart a quick congestion. Hey, have you ever met the dream of that red velvet gown? If you will pardon my suggestion, you better write a number down. She's a gay young bird, all the magazine speaker. On my word, she's a zippiest creature. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
she's the balance.
I know the movies are after. She won't sign, cause she really don't have to. Declare all the lady in red. The fellas are crazy for the lady in red. She's a big gaudy, but the lady, what a personality. All the lady in red is fresh as a daisy when the town is in bed. Dancing and dining and whining with originality. Larry Topper is nothing more than a pal, but me and oh my, you never stop her. She's a dangerous gal if she should ever meet the right guy. Oh, the lady in red, the fellas are crazy for the lady in red. Is she a study or study? What a personality, she's a vitality. Boy, have you ever met a girl who's a toast of the town? A work of art without a question. You better write a number down. Yes.
Our first guest in South Dakota tonight, our champion. Last Saturday, the University of California crew beat Washington, Pennsylvania, and Syracuse in the finals of the Intercollegiate Sprint Championships of the United States at Long Beach, California. Tonight we have with us Reggie Watts, coxswain of the crew, and Ty Ebright, host of the victorious California Bears. We'll hear from Reggie Watts in a minute. And now, may I introduce that famous host, Ty Ebright. Well, Ty, you certainly made a wonderful record, California.
Thank you, Al. I think I've been pretty lucky.
Lucky, sir.
Tell me, who won the Poughkeepsie Regatta in 1928?
California.
Right.
And that's the biggest crew race in the country, ladies and gentlemen. Now, what crew represented the United States at the Olympic Games in 1928 and in 1932?
California.
Hi. Who won the Poughkeepsie Regatta in 1932, 1934, and 1935?
California.
I got it over on that time. Well, listen, what happened in 1933?
Well, they didn't have a race that year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I give up. But there's one thing I must tell you about Ty, ladies and gentlemen. He has perfected a brand new style of rowing. Very different from the Eastern style. Tell me, Ty, have the Eastern boys started to copy your system yet?
Well, they don't have to, Al. Cornell was rowing the Orthodox style this year, and they finished so close that even the judges couldn't tell who'd won.
Well, who did win?
California!
Thanks, Ty. And now, with the help of Reggie Watts, coxswain of the California crew, we're going to reenact for you the finals of last Saturday's 2,000-meter intercollegiate at the Marine Stadium in Long Beach. You'll hear Reggie Watt in person in the California shell. Ty Ebright is sitting on the sideline, worrying as usual. And now, over to the starter's line.
Attention, please. There will be no restarting after the first 30 seconds of the race. If any breaking occurs during the first 30 seconds, the coxswain will raise his hand, and I will fire this gun several times. I get an order to you. Okay, Syracuse?
Okay.
Okay, California?
Okay.
Okay, Pennsylvania?
Okay.
Are you all ready? Ready or no? Go! Go!
They're off. It's a beautiful, clean start. Pennsylvania jumps right into the lead, rowing 42 strokes to the minute. Washington second with a speed of 38 to the minute. California third, Syracuse fourth. But Washington coming up. Yes, sir, those eight huskies in the Washington shell are the beaten minutes in this race. They're hitting a beat of about 37 every stroke count. California hitting a 36 and is still in third place, only about 14 feet behind the leaders. Wait a minute. I think Reggie Watts, the California truck, is going to call on his boys for an election scene. I'll see if I can pick him up for you.
We're coming to the Emmett. Get ready for Ken Biggin. Take your time. Get it slow. All right, here we are. Sit up and flip it. One, come on now. Two, Charlie. Three, four, five.
Hey, you want to see that boat jump when California turned on the heat? They're moving up. They're moving up. They're in second place. They're creeping up on California. Yes, sir. They're creeping up on Pennsylvania. Got me so excited. I don't know which team is which. They're a distance behind it. They're followed or even with the leader. Now let's take a break and watch the California first win again.
Baby, first pass halfway mark now. Still about up 34. Washington's doing 33. We're about even. Syracuse doing 35. Dropping back. Watch it, Larry boy. Roll it up, old boy.
What a race this is. Wish you girls could see them. 32 handsome looking boys pulling like crazy men. We're all in perfect rhythm. You think their lungs would give out or their back would break. But there's still 300 meters to go. California in first place by about 2 feet. Washington at this. Wait a minute. Look at Syracuse. It's coming up. The Syracuse Brookwood is certainly giving it. They're going to be able to hit 40 for the minute. Strong. They're moving up on Washington, California. They're watching Cochran see them now. He gives the boys a gun. Washington moves up on California. Syracuse is still moving up. They're towards Pennsylvania. If anybody's race, folks, any one of those four close groups can win, the crowd is going wild. And now we'll pick up the California shell again.
Washington's taking his chalk up. Keep it down and drive it. Come on now. Washington. Washington's going higher. They're coming up. Breathing. Yep, ready for the sprint. We got 25 strokes to go for the finish. When I give you that whistle, watch it. One, come on now. Two, turn in, boy. Three, turn in, Jeff. Four, you're not great. Five, nigga, to give him. Six, seven. Five more now. One, two, we're going to win. Three, we're going to win. Four, five, we're over.
California wins again. The boy just barely nosed out those Washington Huskies by about 10 feet in a terrific drive at the finish. But wait a minute. The boys are at the float. And those eight California bears that grab Polar Bridge you want to give him the traditional ducking. You know, folks, the Cotswood is kind of field general. He doesn't do any work at all except to holler at the boys. And now the crew is going to get even with him for the loafing he's done all season. They're going to toss him in the water.
Al Jolson will be back in just a minute. You're apt to be deceived about your everyday driving. You're literally going around in circles. And it's a lot farther around the circle than it seems. You're constantly swinging around a block or two to go here or there in the neighborhood. You're never far from your house, but your car is traveling a good many miles. Actually, 4 out of every 5 miles you drive are on short trips right around home. Now, this is the worst kind of driving for using up gasoline, because you're starting or accelerating the motor almost all the time. You can waste up to a cupful in just starting and warming up the engine, enough to carry you a mile. And you can waste up to another cupful when you accelerate to shift gears on a quick getaway. But now, at last, there's a gasoline specially suited to this stop-and-go driving. It's Super Shell, the first truly balanced gasoline. It gives you the three kinds of power you need in just the right proportion. Power for quick starting, power for accelerating and hard pulling, and power for steady running. Try a tank full of this new type gasoline. You can get Super Shell at no extra cost, but you'll find it cuts down the waste and so goes farther on your everyday stop-and-go driving.
We're back in South Dakota, and I will present Jack, Stan, and Peggy Gardner, those kids that work here. You know, last night I heard them talking. It was the dashiest conversation, but it was sweet. Jack said, honey, I'll build you a castle in Spain with a million rooms, a swimming pool, and a radio. And Paige said, what? No tile kitchen? And Jack said, I'll be your royal prince, and you'll be my royal princess. Ah, but they're just kids in love. For them, it's really make-believe. And that's the song they're going to sing, Make-Believe from Showboat, sung by Jack and Peggy Gardner.
Lord,
Another great comedy team in South Dakota tonight. Two young fellows were on their way to the top. Frank Gill and Bill Demling. If they make good here tonight, they're going to go east. If not, they'll go west. So it's up to you folks whether you go to New York or Australia. I give you Gill and Demling. I've asked the boys to do the act, and in my opinion, it's so funny. It's the damnedest thing. It's the craziest, and honestly, believe me, it's the funniest. The scene is the intersection of two busy streets. Oh, I'm laughing. As the curtain rises, two expensive motor cars are headed right for each other, and it looks like a collision.
See, a case is hooked to soot. Looks like that was a tie.
Good evening.
Good evening, my friend.
You're all twisted up in there.
You hurt?
Oh, no. I just tied that knot in my spine to remind me of something.
Yes. I see.
Quite an accident, Red, wasn't it?
Yes.
Lovely.
Quite an accident. What a day for it.
Yes, sir.
Probably the finest smash-up since the year of the big win. Remember
that?
Yes,
I see you're driving a brand new F-Row 8.
I was.
Well, I'm the driver of the other car.
Yes, sir. Oh, that's good.
I don't believe we've met.
You have?
I don't believe we've met.
Oh, no?
Listen, brother, we've not only met, we've merged. I can only... my name is Pip.
You what?
Pip.
Oh, sounds like somebody opening a bottle of warm beer.
My name is Quinn.
Quinn?
Yes. C-O-H-E-N, Quinn.
Quinn.
I
didn't
know you, Quinn.
I thought you'd like to hear.
I sure smashed your car, didn't I? All my fault, too.
No.
Yeah.
No.
What? I haven't got any more brakes than a roller skate.
Oh, no.
Come.
Your fault? Now you think it was my fault. I insisted.
No.
That's my fault. Yes. Now, listen. If I hadn't been looking at that blonde, I'd have made it.
Oh.
Don't apologize, Orlando. Besides, my uncle will buy me a new car.
He will.
Oh, yes. He's in the fish business.
Oh, yes, so.
Well, does he make lots of money in the fish business?
I don't know.
We can't get near enough soon to find out.
I see.
Get it,
Abe.
Well,
I'm not
going
to have you take all the blame.
You probably didn't see me coming.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, I saw you coming. Yes,
I saw you coming. I just wanted to see if I could beat you across the intersection. Sporting clubs.
Well, better luck next time.
I suppose, huh?
Was your car streamlined?
No.
It sure is now.
I wouldn't own confidence with a quick movie. I would not own one of those streamlined cars.
You wouldn't? They look the same at full fans, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that all right?
No. Listen, a friend of mine had one, Steve.
Yeah?
So he drove into a gas station with his mother-in-law in the back seat.
I see, yeah. What happened? What's with that?
Well, the car looked so much alike at both ends.
Yeah.
The serviceman put 10 gallons of gas in the gas tank and 40 pounds of air in the mother-in-law.
45, boy. That's too bad.
Yes, he only holds 35. It's the heat that your car is worth pulling away. It's just a lot.
Well, I don't know, man. It's pretty well folded up.
Yeah,
with a few keys on it, you'd think it was an accordion.
Well, it'll make a nice place for old razor blades.
Listen.
Did you get my windshield?
The windshield? Oh, well, look, they say it's shatterproof.
Yes. Shatterproof? Holy moly! Something must have gone through it.
Something must have gone through your windshield.
It was me.
Yeah.
Get a
load of the fender over here.
Oh, yes, mind you. Boy, you certainly are the original Omar the dent maker.
Yeah, if I touch it,
huh?
If I touch it, it'll fall off.
It did.
Yeah.
Boy, you call your shot. Listen, how is the motor, the thing you want?
My motor?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it since you pushed it into my lap.
How's yours? It just fell through on the pavement. There it is. Take it over there. What an accident.
Oh, I never had more fun of us.
We couldn't have done better if we'd been drunk.
No, but we'd have enjoyed it a darn sight more.
Listen,
were you going fast?
Oh, I was doing 50 at least.
50?
Yeah. Sure. What about you?
Well, I passed two fire engines and an ambulance in the same block. If ever you get an idea.
Yes,
there
he
is, huh?
Did you happen to go through any stoplights?
No. How should I know? I'm colorblind.
Oh, you're colorblind? No. That makes it hard to tell.
Well, how about your
insurance? What are you going to do about the
insurance? Come on, tell me all about it.
I haven't gotten it.
No, it's you, this one, boy. It's really on you.
Hey, wait a minute. What's that in your car there in the back seat?
My wife.
Oh, your wife.
The old ball and chain.
Yes, your wife.
Huh?
Is she hurt?
I don't know.
You don't know?
She hasn't come through yet.
Have you been married very long?
Oh, yes. I married her in the third grade. She was in the third grade.
She was in the third grade?
Yes, indeed. She was 24 at the time.
Oh, I think she...
You know, listen. She never forgave me for it.
She didn't want to.
She always claims the marriage interfered with her education. I got to be getting along.
You
got
to go.
I got to get out of the office.
Fabulous. You know how business is.
Yes, I know. It's rotten.
Yeah. It sure is.
Well,
so long, Mr. Quinn.
So long, Mr. Pips. You know, lovely action we had. Listen, I do a lot of driving around here.
Yes, so do I.
I know we'll run into each other again.
So long, boys. And don't bump into each other on your way out. You know, folks, for the past 5 seasons, the great drama Green's Patches has been playing in every town and hamlet in these United States. What made it a great play was a simple treatment of Negro folklore. We're not fortunate enough to bring you the play here in Shelter Gold, but I am fortunate in having a song called Green Patches, a song that follows closely the face and the spirit of the play. This song has for its setting a revival meeting in the Old South. Green Patches, if you please, Victor.
Rocking chair all day till the day is over. Dream of the the Southland far away, and the fields of clover, yes, and old Jockey all alone, all rocking chairs my prison, waiting to see the promised land. When the sun has risen, carry me back to green, green pastures. That's where I long to be. Carry me back to green, green pastures. That I'm the place for me. I want to see the fields of cotton close to that swanny song. I want to hear my mammy calling down by the cabin door. Oh, rocking chair, keep on singing, rocking me to and fro. Sometimes I hear angels singing, chariots singing low. Swing low, sweet chariot, come in for a carry me home. Oh, swing low.
Performance at Shell Chateau continues in just a minute.
At a track meet, it's seldom that a man takes part in more than one event. Some men are best for the 100-yard dash. Others are best for the mile run. And still others are best for the shot put. Only now and then is there an all-around athlete who can place in several events. Now, it's the same way with gasoline. Some are best for quick starting. Some are best for hard pulling, accelerating and going uphill. And others are best for steady driving. But what you need is a gasoline that's mighty good at doing all three. Because four out of every 5 miles you drive are right around home. And on this stop-and-go driving, you're using up fully as much gas for starting and accelerating as you do for running along. Shell engineers have finally been able to produce this all-around gasoline that you need. It's Super Shell. It's the first truly balanced gasoline. Tests have proved that Super Shell is way above the average in giving you all three kinds of power. Power for quick starting, power for fast pickup and for hill climbing, and power for steady driving. Here's what it'll mean to you. By using Super Shell, you cut down usual waste on starting and accelerating. Every tank full lasts longer, gives you noticeably more stop-and-go mileage. But see for yourself. Get some Super Shell tomorrow. It sells at no extra cost.
We'll be back in Shelter Go again. And we're going on with the show. Tonight we're presenting Kit Chilly, Gillen Demley, Kai Ebright, Reggie Watts, and Richard Poppelman. Right now, we're going to have a medley of tunes from Victor Young and his orchestra.
teacher is playing this medley as a compliment to the sweetest girl in the world. Are you listening, Ruby? A Ruby Gillum medley consisting of four tunes from the four biggest pictures. Everybody knows these songs. Go Into Your Dance, Flirtation Walk, The Shadow Waltz, and I Only Have Eyes for You. Sing it, Victor.
Thank you.
Victor, Victor, I thank you. Ruby thanks you, and the baby thanks you. You know, it's wonderful having a wife that's a star in pictures. I walk along the street with Ruby, and people point at me and say, ha-ha, there goes Mr. Keeler. That's all I need. But I'm not the only one who has a picture star for a wife. There's a fellow by the name of Bing Crosby, whose wife is one of the most charming, talented stars in the picture industry. Her name is Dixie Lee. She sings beautifully. She's a grand actress, and I'm proud to welcome her tonight to Shell Chateau, Miss Dixie Lee. And now Miss Lee is going to show us a typical day of shooting on one of her pictures at Paramount. I could have said Warner, but she is at Paramount. We find her in her dressing room getting ready to go out and sing a number.
I love you. I love you. Who is it?
It's Jay Flores from the publicity department, Mrs. Crosby.
Oh, come in.
Say, Dickie, this is a swell spread I got in the movie guide. Two whole pages with nothing on them but pictures of Bing Crosby. Is that terrific or is it terrific?
That's terrific. Are there any pictures of me in that magazine?
Oh, how should I know? Well, come on, Dickie.
I love you. I love you. Who is it?
You're fine and bound, Mrs. Crosby.
Well, come in, but don't call me Mrs. Frosty.
No, well, listen, Dixie, I got an absolutely wonderful idea. It's a story that'll positively shake the industry. Sort of a detective story with smart lines, lots of comedy. Only it's about a federal detective. Like it?
Yeah. Why don't you call it the Thin G-Man?
Great. Say, it'll make the most colossal picture Bing Crosby ever made. Don't you think so, Mrs. Crosby?
I think so. Get out of here.
Okey-dokey. Come on, Dixie.
I love you. I love you. That's all that I can say.
Crosby.
She's not here.
Well, maybe you can tell me. Where's Bing Crosby?
I never heard of him. Hello. Oh, you ready to shoot the scene? I'll be right over. I love you. I love you. That's all that I can say. I love you. I love you.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Crosby. All ready to shoot?
Now, wait a minute. Don't you call me Mrs. Crosby. I'm Dixie Lee. And all I've heard since I got here this morning is bing, bing, bing. Why don't you give me a break? Honestly, if you want me to sing this very beautiful number this morning, you hadn't better mention the Crosby name again. Do I make myself clear?
Absolutely. Now, if you'll just stand here, please, so we can check the lighting, and then you can go right into your song, Dixie.
Okay.
There, that's fine. Now then, I told them to take that phone out. Hello. You can't speak to Miss Lee now. She's on the set. Well, just a minute.
Who is it?
It's the singer. His initials are B.C.
Oh, B.C. Well, I was Dixie Lee, B.C., before Crosby. Give me that phone. I'll talk to him. Hello, dear. Oh, you can't find your shoes. Since when are you wearing shoes in the daytime? Listen, you're talking to Miss Dixie Lee, the Dixie Lee, remember? Yeah, and she positively cannot be interrupted on the set because the overhead is $10,000 a minute. You have to have your shoes because Will Hayes is coming to see you. I don't care if the governor's coming to see you. Make him take his shoes off and you can both go waiting. Goodbye. Would you like me to sing this song now?
I certainly would. Hit it, boys.
Never say never again, cause here I am, love again, head over heels in love again with you. Never say never, kiss you again, cause here I'm kissing you again. That's the thing I said I'd never do. I turned my back and said goodbye. I was crazy, wasn't I? Missed you so, I thought I'd die. It's all over now, throw my hat in the sky. I'll never say never again, cause here I am, love again. Head over heels in love again with the same sweet you. Why did we ever quarrel? Say goodbye to love. Must have been insane. What was I thinking of? Here we are back together, happier than before. All I can do is promise for
kiss you again, cause I'm kissing you again. That thing I said I'd never do. I turned my back and said goodbye, but I was hasty, it wasn't nice. Missed you so, I thought I'd die. It's all over now, throw my hat in the sky. I'll never say never again, again, cause I'm in love again. And over me, I'm in love again with the same with you.
Miss Lee, Miss Dixie Lee. What a beautiful name, and what it stands for. Lee, the name of that great general from the South. And Dixie, good old Dixie. Without it, thousands of songwriters would still be in Russia. And say, wait a minute, without it, what have I done for a mammy song? And speaking of mammies, Miss Lee, tell me, how does it feel to be the mother of three bouncing babies?
Oh, it's wonderful, Mr. Gilson. I'm proud of my three babies, and they're all boys, too. By the way, Al, how's your baby boy?
Oh, Dixie, don't ask me. Well, this will go on for hours if you do. No kidding. You see, my little cunning, he's so little, and he's so young. I'm kind of worried about how he's going to look when he grows up, you know.
Oh, don't let that worry you. Usually when a baby's beautiful, it's 99 chances out of 100 he'll grow up to be homely. And if the baby's homely, the chances are he'll grow up to be beautiful. Mr. Gilson, what are you laughing about?
I was just thinking, what a beautiful baby Victor Young must have been. Thank you, Dixie Lee. And now, I don't really need to introduce our next guest star this evening. All you people at the Chateau know him. Everybody knows him. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Richard Bartleman.
Thank you, Al. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, it's my pleasure to do a screen from Norman Krasner's play, Small Miracles. It was an instant success when it was released on Broadway last fall, and I was delighted to have the chance to make it into a picture, which we called 4 Hours to Kill. The action of the play takes place entirely in the lounge of a New York theater while the show is going on upstairs. I play the part of Tony Mako, a convicted murderer, handcuffed to Joe Taft, the detective. This part will be played by Charles Wilson, who played it with me in the picture. The detective and the murderer are killing time at the theater, but after the show, they are going to catch a train to the West, where Tony Mako is to be hanged. We have just been listening to a young man telephoning a hospital for information about his wife, who is expecting a baby.
You want to go up and see the rest of the show, kid?
No, thanks, Papa. Say, that having a kid must be a funny feeling. I mean, for the man, too.
Oh, everybody goes through that.
Not me. All my life, I knew I wouldn't have a kid. I had a hunch. I thought maybe I'd get married sometime. I could imagine that, but I guess I ain't got much time to get married now. You've got to have a day off to get the license, and I ain't got the day. Say, I guess I'm lucky it's that I ain't got a kid. How would I feel? You got any kids?
Who, me? Sure, I got a girl, 13 years old.
No kidding, 13 years?
Yeah, she graduates public school day after tomorrow. Tomorrow's a whip, that kid.
Hey, I'll bet you're excited.
Yeah. If I didn't have to take you on this little trip, I could be at a graduation.
If you want my permission, we can postpone this trip.
Say, Connie, I'd like to ask you something.
Yeah?
If you don't feel like talking, just tell me and I'll shut up. Do you know every cop in New York knew you were in town? For the last 2 days, we all knew you were right in the Times Square district. Yeah. Now, what's the idea of breaking out of jail 2,000 miles away and coming to the one spot you were sure to be picked up?
Pretty dumb, eh? Sometimes I wonder myself. When I was in jail, I only wanted one thing. I wanted to kill myself. I used to wake up in the middle of the night screaming. All day long, I'd be in a cold sweat. It'd come right through my clothes, soaking wet. I thought if I could only knock myself off in a hurry, that's all I wanted. Once I tried it.
You did?
Yeah.
I planned it all out. I put my hand on a bed spring, and the doctor came in with the iodine. That's what I was waiting for. I grabbed the iodine and swallowed it. But there wasn't enough of it, so all I got was a bellyache. You think I'm a coward?
Once I killed four guys by myself.
Huh?
But that was all right. I was allowed to kill them. There was a war going on.
Oh.
No. I'm no coward. I thought about getting knocked off lots of times. I figured maybe I'd get shot sometimes. But I wouldn't mind that if it was quicker. Or maybe the electric chair. That didn't seem so bad. But hang it. I never counted on that. I used to sit in that jail and hold my hand over my mouth to stop breathing. Did you ever try it? You feel like your eyes are going to pop out of your head in another second, and you've got to grab your hand away. I used to try to keep my hand there just that extra second to see how much it hurts. But I couldn't do it.
You're torturing yourself.
I was going out of my head. And then I said to myself, what's the matter? I'll try and get out of here. What'll I do about it? Shoot me in the back? I'd find it. That'd be a favor.
And you got out, huh?
Yeah. But they double-crossed me. Nobody shot me.
You should have stayed away from New York, kid.
Yeah, that's the funny part. Once I got out, I didn't want to die anymore. But I knew I was going to get caught sooner or later. Then I wanted one more thing. I wanted to pick somebody. He was in New York.
You should have stayed away.
Say, you can imagine how I must have hated that. I just wanted to see him dead. Right in front of me, and then I wouldn't mind hanging anymore. I just wanted to kill this one. Kill him by myself.
Who was it, Michael?
You know him. Anderson.
I thought he was a friend of yours.
I just knew him. He used to hang around Goldie. He went with us out west. The boys had an idea about something out there that didn't pan out. On the way back, we ran out of money and I held up a gas station. There was one old guy in it. He must have been screwed. I had the gun on him, and he turned his back on me to grab a hold of the shotgun in the cord. Well, when we got back here, everything went smooth for a couple of weeks, and then I get picked up for this gas station job in Wyoming. I didn't even know I was in Wyoming.
Anderson told on you?
He didn't have to, mind you. Nobody picked him up. He just wanted to get a reward of a couple of $100 and he squealed. Sold me out. He knew he was hanging me. All for a couple of $100.
Well, Mako, why didn't you get hold of him all the time that you've been in New York? He hangs out at Jolie's pool room, you know that. He's there right now.
Yeah? He didn't steal Jolie's then. He beat it. He was afraid of me. He read in the paper I was out and he knew I'd come for him. I found out he was hiding in his wife's apartment, but nobody knew where it was. So I got all the Andersons out of the telephone book and I started around. Just like a letter carrier.
Yeah. Where'd you get hold of that letter carrier's uniform?
I rented it. Said I was going to a party.
It was just like a pass. That uniform was certainly clever.
But it wasn't clever enough. I still had 20 Andersons to go when they picked me up.
You feeling sick again?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm all right. You're a white guy for a cop. You're Mars. Just let's talk. What do you say? I haven't talked to anybody in so long. I'm full of air.
All right.
What about your kid?
Oh, what about her?
What are you going to give her for a present?
Oh, you mean for a graduation present? Well, my wife, she's making her a dress. A regular lady's evening gown, only on a smaller scale, of course. And I'm going to get her some shoes with real high heels on. They should be crazy about them.
All right. That's no present for a kid getting clothes. I used to get fancy presents like that. My mother used to starve herself and give me a couple of handkerchiefs or a shirt. I didn't like that. I remember once I wanted a thing. See how I wanted that thing. You know what I got that Christmas? A suit of woolen underwear. And I was crazy about machinery. Maybe if my folks had enough dough to buy me things, I wouldn't have learned to pick pockets for them. No. A dress ain't no present.
I don't know. A girl thinks a lot of clothes.
Say, listen. I got about $300 hidden here. You want to do me a favor?
Don't be crazy.
Now, what am I going to blow this dough on? You take it and get the kid something from me.
I don't need any money.
Now, listen, Cap. I'd rather your kid got this than some crook warden. Come on. I got no one to leave it to. You know I'm right. Go on. Take it. That's it.
Thanks, Michael. That's a lot of money.
Now, what can you get your kid? How about a stack of dolls?
Hey, she's a little bit too old for that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. 15 years.
Yeah.
Now that's... What did I always want? She don't like machinery.
No, she's a girl. She would.
Say, I got it. Why don't you just go up to her and say this? Aiden, what do you want? Anything in the world you want, I'll get it for you.
She'll say it won't even cost $300.
Say, that's a good idea. Then she'd be getting something she wanted.
Yeah, even if it's something Nettie gets it. Say, if anybody'd ever said that to me, I'd remember it all my life. Only don't get her nothing that's going to make her sick, like cake or a lot of bananas.
No. Say, this is very nice of you, Tony.
Better not tell her who it's from.
No, I'll say it's from an uncle out west.
Yeah. Yeah, from Wyoming.
Is there something you want, Michael? Can I do anything for you?
No. No, you can't do anything. I'd just like two things to happen. First, I'd like to get Anderson in a dark alley for a couple of minutes. And second, after that, I'd like to drop dead. You couldn't detect me, could you?
No.
Let's go upstairs, huh? I'd like to see the girl do this number.
Tony Nichols escaped. He steals a gun from the theater house detective. Leaps through a wide window and is free. Oh, while Times Square, throng with police searching for him, Tony re-enters the theater lounge and telephones and enters after Anderson. He disguises his voice and asks Anderson to come to the theater at once, then hides in a telephone booth that is marked out of order. He knows they won't look for him there. Anderson is now in the lounge, where he's being questioned by Detective Taft, while other police search the room for Tony Nichols. They look everywhere, except the police.
He called me, Taft. He told me to come in.
I thought you said your wife called, Anderson.
No, he called me. I didn't recognize his voice. He said he had a message for my wife.
There's blood on the carpet. He must be hiding around here.
What did I tell you? He's waiting for me someplace. He'll kill me.
I'll let the devil does this blood leak.
You've got to protect me. Take me to jail. I'll go anyplace.
Oh, shut up. Somebody's going to hurt you. Oh, he went over this way.
He'll get me. He's crazy. I said he's a killer. What are you doing? Put him up. Nichols.
Here we are.
Don't be a fool, Tony. You can't get off this block.
You don't see me trying, do you? Well, Anderson, how do you feel? Fooling again. I didn't know you were here until you started talking so loud. You always did talk too much, Tony.
Tony, I didn't scream any. They knew it anyway. They came to me first. I'm thinking.
I could shoot you in the head, but I wouldn't do it. You'd be dead.
Nichols, don't do it. I'll try to help you. I'll get your life in prison. You can trust me, Nichols.
But I want you to die slow. I want you to die in pain with a bullet in your stomach.
Tony.
That's the worst place. Your insides will be on fire. You'll feel like you're all burning up. It's worse than hanging, Anderson.
No, come on, stop it. Don't move, Covers.
How is it, Anderson? Don't be dead too quick. You'd like another bullet, my friend, but you can't have it. They wouldn't kill me quick, either. They were going to hang me. Dead already, huh?
Don't try anything. Remember, coppers, I only get hung once. Anybody I kill now is on the house. Don't start after me. Stay where you are. You'll only save yourself from getting hate. I don't want to shoot anybody.
You got him, Joe. You got him.
Thank you.
He muttered something just before he died, didn't he, Sergeant?
Yeah. He said, pal. Thanks, pal. I guess their mind leaves them just before they kick off.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard Bartlemus, for your fine performance. Honestly, it was grand. Everybody likes good grammar, and everybody loves a love song. And I have one for you tonight. It's made to order for summer romance. The title is Moonlight and Magnolias. Ah, what a combination. You furnish the girl, and I'll furnish the moonlight. Play it, Victor.
I've seen the magic of a sunset. I've marveled at the work of art. I've read the story of love and glory, but never dreamed I'd play a part. Moonlight and magnolias, made a silvery scented lane. Left it with a love refrain. Well, I go with you. Moonlight and magnolias wouldn't let us say goodbye. Till the stars away up high faded in the blue. Night drew a curtain around us, and the blossom with you, what a gleam. Romance and happiness found us, and carried us off in a dream. Oh, moonlight and magnolias made the world a paradise. When we came to realize, we were in love. Moonlight and magnolias made a silvery scented lane. Left it with a love refrain. Well, I go with you. Moonlight and magnolias wouldn't let us say goodbye. Till the stars away up high faded in the blue. I drew a curtain around us, and the blossom with you, what a dream. Romance and happiness found us, and carried us off in a dream. Moonlight and magnolias made the world a paradise. When we came to realize, we were in love.
More from Al Jolson in just a minute. Do you sometimes have a guilty feeling about driving your car because you're using up so much gasoline? Well, here's a way you can drive your car even more than you've been doing and still have a clear conscience, because you'll actually be using up less gasoline. By using Super Shell, you can save as much as a cupful in just starting and warming up the engine a single time. And you can save up to another cupful on 10 minutes of rapid accelerating. In the course of a week's driving, the gasoline you save really amounts to something, because 80% of your driving is on short trips right around home. You're starting or accelerating practically all the time. A tank full of Super Shell lasts longer on stop-and-go driving. Try some soon. Super Shell costs no more than ordinary gasoline. You can get it at any of the 30,000 neighborly Shell stations from coast to coast.
And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Saturday night, we're going to have the team of all living heavyweight champions, the idol of millions, James J. Jeffries, that dramatic singer star, Miss Lee Wiley, and if that weren't enough, we're going to have the gorgeous star of the screen, Miss Joan Blondell, and a big surprise, I won't tell you, but remember, next Saturday night, tune in. And if you want gas, stop in your nearest Shell service station. This is Al Jolson saying from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Father. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters and the saints. Oh, call you, brother. Thank you, Father.
Tune in next week at the same time when Al Jolson presents Miss Lee Wiley, Jim Jeffries, and Joan Blondell. The selected lady in red is from the picture in Caliente. Your announcer, John McIntyre. This is the National Broadcasting Company.